Hi there, Pastor Woods here up in Sun Valley, Arizona. I want to talk to you today about what God expects of our lives, and I've entitled this, If, But, and Then You Choose. I want to take my remarks from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 18, and I'm using the New King James Version. It says, See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to get in and possess. It's hard to believe what we do or don't do has life and death consequences because we have lost sight of the holiness of God. God expects us to live holy lives, and we don't stop to realize God is a witness of every conversation. He knows every thought process that we have, and we can't hide anything from God. From Old Testament times till now, God hasn't changed. In fact, the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's still holy. And the line is drawn in the sand. God's plumb line is something we need to pay attention to. That's his plumb line is how we should measure up to his expectations in our lives. The difference is the conditions. What he expects from us is for us to live holy lives, not measure up to other people's standards, but to his standards. Instead of living and dying by the law, we have a different option. God has provided a sacrifice for our guilt, not for not living up to his laws. When you accept God's provision, you choose life. That sacrifice is Jesus Christ, who died on a cross and bled and was dead for your sins, but rose again from the grave. To reject what Christ has done is to be eternally damned. So if you accept God's plan of salvation, you will spend eternity in heaven with a loving God. The choice is yours. On which side of the line will you take your stand? God continues his instructions and warnings in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 17 and 18. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods, and serve them, I announce you today that you surely will perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. You know, one of the saddest examples of this happening is the life of King Solomon. Solomon was the son of King David, and David had been a tremendous king. Solomon was given all kinds of blessings. God had promised that he would prosper him. In fact, Solomon had everything going for him as he began his reign in Israel. God gave him wisdom, wealth. He blessed him in every way imaginable. But God told Solomon to be faithful and walk according to God's will. 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 3 through 8 says, And the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have consecrated this house which you have built. That would be Solomon's temple he built in the name of the Lord. He said, I put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Now, if you walk before me as your father David walked in integrity of heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, You shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. But if you or your sons at all turn from following me and do not keep my commandments, my statutes, which I have set before you, but do not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, and you go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and this house which I have consecrated for my name I will cast out of my sight. Israel be a proverb and a byword among all peoples, and as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and will hiss and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and to this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. Solomon took his eyes off God and put them onto women and material possessions. In fact, Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Good night. Think how many mother-in-laws he had. Also, think how it would have been if he tried to sneak in late some night. Well, how wise was that to have all these wives and all these concubines? Because his wives influenced him with their idolatry. He built idols and worshiped them, forgetting what God had told him, forgetting to worship Almighty God. His heart turned away from God. There is no record that he ever repented and turned back to God. So after God had blessed him so very much, he probably ended up in hell. Solomon forgot the but clause in the covenant with God. But God didn't forget the agreement he'd made with Solomon. God would prosper Solomon and Israel, but if they forgot God, God would destroy them. Says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 17 through 22, as for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as ruler of Israel. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name I will cast out of my sight, and will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. And as for this house which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt and embraced other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this calamity on them. See, God repeated it. They can't say, well, we didn't understand, we didn't know, because God makes sure that we know his will. God had warned Solomon and the people. In Deuteronomy 30, 18 through 20, it says, then I warn you that you'll certainly be destroyed. You'll not live a long, good life in the land crossing the Jordan you're to occupy. Listen. It's happening to the United States today. We have been so blessed. God has been so good to us in our nation, but we no longer honor God, and God is allowing us to be destroyed. You have no idea how fast it's happening. It's kind of like when I was a kid and we had a slide out in the play yard of our house, out where the kids could go. And we went down the slide. Sometimes it was pretty dull and pretty slow, and so what we would do is we'd go get a piece of wax paper and sit on that and slide down, and all of a sudden we were going lickety-split down the slide. In fact, you had to be careful you didn't go too fast. Well, that's what's happening today. We are on a slide going lickety-split towards judgment. God not only works this way with nations, he works this way with individuals. Someone will say, well, I'm not against God. I just haven't taken a stand either way. E. Stanley Jones said, if you don't make up your mind, your unmade mind will unmake you. People are so interested in what this world offers, they have very little interest in what God has to offer. God offers the real bargain. If we confess our sins to Him, accept Him as our Savior, we will have eternal life in heaven with Him. Thomas A. Kempis said, for little reward, men make a long journey. For eternal life, many will scarce lift a foot once from the ground. God warned us that we are to love Him and obey His will, but if we ignore His warning, then we can expect Him to allow us to be destroyed. But it's our choice. God doesn't send anybody to hell. We choose where we want to spend eternity by what we do in our decisions with God. Deuteronomy chapter 30, 19 and 20 says, today I have offered you a choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, that you and your descendants might live. Choose to love the Lord your God and to obey Him and commit yourself to Him, for He is your life. Then you will live long in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, that promise is still in effect today, but I'm so sorry the United States of America has chosen to walk away from God. When Obama was president, he proclaimed, whatever we once were, we are no longer a Christian nation. He promoted and allowed Islam to overtake us. He did promise change, but we didn't understand maybe what the change was, and we have not recovered. Our politicians no longer want to find God's will and God's blessing. You know, I want my daughters, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren to have the same blessings that I have enjoyed throughout my life. But the climate has drastically changed. Our nation, as we have known it in the past, will never be the same again. We are no longer choosing life and blessings. God said in Deuteronomy 30:15, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. Why choose evil? Our cherished values and convictions no longer exist. Our heritage has been forgotten. Something is terribly wrong when one of our major political parties makes killing our babies by abortion the major plank in their campaign. They try to disguise the horror of it by calling it woman's health. They insist on calling the baby a fetus and not an unborn human being, but that does not change anything. Babies are being murdered by the millions. That political party wants to erase our borders so millions of immigrants can flood into our nation illegally, hoping to get voters to keep them in power and to destroy our Christian base and bring in Marxism or communism. The things that made the United States great no longer matter. People say, well, I just don't know how to vote this year. There are just so many things going on. Well, remember when people wore a slogan button that simply said WWJD? That stood for What Would Jesus Do? That seems like a good place to start as you vote. Ask yourself, would Jesus vote for a political party or a candidate who wants to kill his precious babies in the womb? Or would he promote same-sex marriage or promote transsexual operations among young people? Seems like a pretty good test to me, and we'll probably come out knowing how we should vote. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 17 and 18. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. Now, I'm not trying to sound negative. I'm just facing reality. Most young people today don't even know or understand the heritage of our nation. What a blessing we've had. How not only God is blessed, but how many lives have been lost in order to help us to keep our freedom and the blessings that the United States of America has enjoyed. What's worse is individuals have forgotten God too. Daddies and mommies and grandparents have forgotten God. And because of that, our kids don't know they need God, and the kids are going to pay. If you've forgotten God, there's still time to come back to Him. You can still influence your family to turn to God. You know, we need people with courage to take a stand for Jesus Christ and become militant in their commitment to win souls for Him, to stand for the convictions that God wants us to stand for. God is the only hope this nation has to survive. Tim Bowden, in his book, One Crowded Hour, tells about cameraman Neil Davis, who had an incident that happened in Borneo during the conflict between Malaysia and Indonesia in 1964. Said a group of Gurkhas from Nepal were asked if they'd be willing to jump from a transport plane into combat against the Indonesians if the need arose. The Gurkhas had the right to turn down the request because they'd never been trained in as paratroopers. Bowden quotes Davis's account in the story. He says, "Now, Gurkhas usually agreed to anything, but this time they provisionally rejected the plan. The next day, one of their NCOs came to the British officer who made the request and said that they'd discuss the matter further and be willing to jump under certain conditions." "What conditions?" asked the British officer. The Gurkhas told him they would jump if the land was marshy or reasonably soft with no rocky outcrops because they were inexperienced in falling. The British officer considered this and said the dropping areas would almost certainly be over jungle and there'd not be rocky outcrops, so they seemed all right. What was there anything else? "Yes," said the Gurkhas. "They wanted the plane to fly as slowly as possible and no more than 100 feet high." The British officer pointed out that the planes always flew as slowly as possible when dropping troops, but to jump from 100 feet was impossible because the parachutes wouldn't open in time from that height. "Oh," said the Gurkhas, "that's all right then. We'll jump with parachutes anywhere. You didn't mention parachutes before." God and any church could use such Gurkhas-like commitment and courage. If we could find that kind of courage, we could turn souls back to God and truly have a church on fire for Jesus Christ. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 18, "I've given you the choice between life and death. Oh, that you would choose life so you and your descendants might live." Deuteronomy 30:19, "If, but, and then you choose." Have you chosen Jesus Christ today? Are you living in such a way that when you stand before Him, He will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into those things that belong that you've earned." Or will He say, "Depart, I never knew you"? I hope you know Jesus. Father, I just pray today that each one that's listening to this podcast will find the time to search their hearts out and make sure that they have a right relationship with you. God, I'd pray if there's somebody that doesn't know you as their Savior, that this would be the day they would confess their sins to you, repent, and accept you as their personal Savior, so they too might have eternal life. I just ask, Jesus, that we might take a stand for you. You know, our country, our nation is in such trouble today. We've got a big election coming up. We've got all kinds of decisions to make. And I would pray, God, that we would vote like you would have us vote. And we would see this nation turn back towards the things of God, the standards that God has established as He established this nation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know how to get a hold of me. Send me a letter or something through Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. Or you can send me a message over the text me a message on phone number 623-825-2741, or you can call me direct at that number, 623-845-2741. I'm praying that God will help you to find a right relationship with Him, to walk with Him. I'm praying that God will lead you as we vote in this most important election coming up. And those who say, oh, I never vote, you need to use your influence as Christians to make sure that we get a party in there that at least have some standards, at least lead us the direction we should go. By the way, if you want to come to church tomorrow, I'll be preaching at the First Baptist Church here in Holbrook, Arizona. And it's at First Avenue and Buffalo Street. And the service starts at 11 o'clock. Sunday school's at 9:45. I would invite you to come. It'll be a good service, and we will enjoy having you fellowship with that congregation. God bless you. Talk to you next week.